the heads of the father's household, he led them to say, it is not right for somebody other than the son of David to be on the throne. We are going to put the king back on the throne because that's what God's word says. We're going to do what God's word says to do, and we're going to do it the way that God's word says to do it. And he had to strengthen himself. He had to trust. This is what is right to do, and regardless of the possible outcome, I'm going to do what God's word says to do. And God did it. The wickedness was kicked out, torn down, killed. And the son of David, the king, was put on the throne like God's word said should happen. Now, Joash was that son. Joash was the king. And he was a little boy. He was 7 years old when Jehoiada strengthened himself and led the coup that put the king back on the throne. And so he was 7 years old when he became king. And we need to watch and see what happens here. I wish that we're going to fly through this story. And I want to make a couple of points of application. But let me just tell you, there is more here than I can cover this morning. I would encourage you to take it home and spend some time in this chapter this week. Keep going through 2 Chronicles. I love this book. Not just Chronicles, but all of God's Word. But I can tell you, the Lord, just me personally, man, the Lord has taught me much here in 2 Chronicles. Joash, 7 years old when he became king. Now look at verse 2. We get what's called in literature foreshadowing. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now that sounds good, but it's not. Why is that not good? Let me tell you what's happening in verse 2. In verse 2, we get a very good statement that Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But then we get at the end of the verse, we get a limiting factor. We get a limit. That Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord to a point. That his devotion and his surrender and his faithfulness to the Lord was limited. What was it limited by? We're even told that. We are told that his faithfulness to the Lord was limited, and it is limited to the life of a man. Now, without even reading any more, because the Holy Spirit gives us more, right there in verse 2, if you are told that somebody's faithfulness to the Lord is limited to the life of another individual, what conclusion do you draw right away? Maybe he wasn't being faithful to the Lord. Maybe he was following an individual. And when that individual is gone, he finds somebody else to follow. Let's see if that plays out. Here is my suggestion to you, with nothing more than foreshadowing here in verse 2. That Joash was not following the Lord. Joash was following a man. And as long as that man was around, Joash did okay. Let's see what happens. Verse 4. Now it came about after this that Joash decided to restore the house of the Lord. Good, bad, very good. That's exactly what the king needed to do at this point. He gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out to the cities of Judah, collect money from all Israel to repair the house of your God annually, and you shall do the matter quickly. But the Levites did not act quickly, so the king summoned Jehoiada, the chief priest, said to him, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the levy fixed by Moses, the servant of the Lord, on the congregation, the sons of Israel, for the tent of the testimony? For the sons of the wicked Athaliah had broken into the house of God and even used the holy things of the house of the Lord
for Baals.
Here's what's happening. Let me just tell you real quick. Here's what the story is telling us. That Athaliah, who was the wicked queen, she was not even related to David. She was from the northern kingdom, just straight wickedness. That she had brought some people in. She had some sons who were as wicked as she was. And they had torn up the house of God. They had torn up the temple. And the temple had been shut down, torn up, and not used. That God was not being worshipped and God was not being served by His people because of the state of the temple after Athaliah was ruling. And so Joash comes and he's on the throne and he says, that's not right. He said, God's people need to be serving and worshiping God the way that God said they should. So we got to do something about it. We've got to fix the temple. Now let me tell you, in Joash's role, he was the king. He had responsibility. That was exactly what God wanted him to do. If you ever find yourself in a position where you are not serving and worshiping the Lord, where you are not pleasing the Lord according to His Word, if you ever find yourself in that position, the first thing that you've got to do is get back to obeying God's Word. That's what you do. And so that's what Joash does. Man, praise God for this. That's what Joash does. He says his initial idea is to send the Levites and the priests out among the people and ask for money. But the Levites and the priests, they don't want to do that so much. And so he says, okay, I got another idea, maybe a better idea. Verse 6, his idea is, he says to Jehoiada, he says, Jehoiada, here's what we need to do. He says, back in Exodus 34, Moses was told by God to ask all of the people to give a half a shekel as a ransom for themselves to go toward the building of the tabernacle. Everybody, it didn't matter whether you were rich or whether you were poor, it didn't matter who you were, everybody gave a half a shekel as a ransom to the Lord for themselves to go toward building the tabernacle. They hadn't done that in centuries. Joash says, we need to do that because we have not served the Lord, and so we need to tell the nation, here's what we're going to do. God's Word says this. We're going to do what God's Word says. So they did. They put out the word. We're collecting this temple tax, this ransom for the temple. Let's see what happens. Verse 8. So the king commanded. They made a chest, and they set it outside by the gate of the house of the Lord. Now, stop right there for just a second. Let me just make a real quick note. Which do you think would be more effective, sending the Levites out among the people to ask for money or just putting a chest out by the gate of the temple? Seemed like it might be more effective to send the Levites out to ask for money. But that's not what the Lord had told them to do. They put a chest out by the gate of the tabernacle, and they said, hey, here's what we're doing. This is what God's Word says. We're doing what God's Word says. Watch what happens. They made a proclamation in Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the levy fixed by Moses, servant of God, on Israel in the wilderness. Verse 10, and all the officers and the people rejoiced and brought in their levies and dropped them into the chest until they had finished. And it came about whenever the chest was brought in to the king's officer by the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, then the king's scribe and the chief priest officer would come, empty the chest, take it, return it to its place, and thus they did daily, and they collected much money. Verse 12, the king and Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of God, and they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. And so the workmen labored, and the repair work progressed in their hands, and they restored the house of God according to its specifications and strengthened it. Verse 14, when they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, and it was made into utensils for the house of the Lord. Utensils for the service and the burnt offerings and pans and utensils of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. Now, here's what's happened. They said, no, we're not going to go out. We're not going to ask for money. We're going to set a chest right at the gate of the temple. We're going to tell everybody, the whole nation, this is what we're doing. This is what God said. So it's what we're going to do. And do you know the response of the people? It says that the people rejoiced to bring that money in. And they would wait till that chest got filled up and they would take it in, empty it into the treasury, and then they would set it back out there and it'd fill back up. And then they'd take it in and they'd fill, and they collected much money. They gave it to the masons, the stone workers, they gave it to the people who were working in the temple, and they had money left over to craft more utensils and more of the articles that were needed to use inside the temple. They had everything that they needed. Let me make a note here. We're really not to where I want to get the point of this passage yet, but let me just make a note here. When you decide that God's word is the authority over His people, and we are going to obey God's word, then God will make sure that you have everything you need to do what He has given you to do. He will. And here's what we see. Did Joash know how the people would respond to sitting that chest out there in front of the temple gate? They didn't know. But here's what they did know. That the result of our actions and the response in other people's lives to our decisions, the result of my efforts and the response to my decisions, do you know that? It's up to the Lord. The result of my efforts and the response to my decisions, that is up to the Lord. And God can bring results and responses that you would never have imagined when you say, I am going to obey the Lord. And so Joash says, hey, we need to repair the temple. We need to start doing the temple. We need to start using the temple and serving and worshiping the Lord like God commanded us to do. And God enabled him to do it. He did. Let's keep watching. Verse 15. Now Jehoiada reached a ripe old age, and he died. He was 130 years old at his death. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done well in Israel and to God and to his house. Jehoiada was not a king, but they buried him with the kings because of what he had done. He had brought God's people back under the authority of God's word. Man, what a testimony. What a life. He had simply said, this is right. This is what we're going to do because God's word says it. And God used him. Now here comes the sad part. Verse 17. But after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. They abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim, the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guilt. Yet God sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. And though they testified against them, they would not listen. Joash. What in the world? Joash. God had used you to rebuild the temple. God had used you to reestablish the worship and the service of God among God's people. God had used you to bring God's people back to the place where they needed to be, to reestablish the service and the worship of the Lord. Joash. But Jehoiada died. And when Jehoiada was not there, Joash started listening to somebody else. It says the counselors came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. And this king, who while Jehoiada was alive was reestablishing the worship and the service of the Lord, now, with other counselors surrounding him, now is worshiping idols. Jehoiada, chapter 23. Jehoiada, in the middle of a wicked environment, with wickedness ruling over God's people, in the middle of a wicked environment, Jehoiada strengthens himself and reestablishes God's authority. Joash, coming from a godly environment with the entrance of wicked influences, falls and starts worshiping idols right along with the wicked influences. Do you see the contrast? There, the Holy Spirit is setting up this contrast between verse 23 and verse 24. One man, Jehoiada, flourishes in a wicked environment. The other man falls because of wicked influences. And the difference is Jehoiada was following the Lord. Jehoiada knew the Lord, and he was following the Lord, and his heart was for God. Joash was following a man. Joash was following a person. And as long as that person was there, right there in front of him, to lead him, he did all right. But as soon as that person, that godly influence in his life, was taken out and wicked influences came in, he fell. Let's just stop for just a second. Let me talk to you high school graduates. Let's talk for just a minute. Does your heart follow the Lord? Or are you the product of your parents' oversight over your life and your parents' influence? What's going to happen when your parents aren't right there with you? What's going to happen when Mr. Tyler and Mr. Jason aren't walking you through Romans every Sunday night? What's going to happen when those godly influences aren't there anymore and you walk onto a college campus that we all know is full of wicked influences? What will happen? Will you, like Jehoiada, strengthen yourself in the middle of a wicked environment and say, this is what God's Word says, and I am going to do what God's Word says because I am the Lord's. I belong to the Lord, like Jehoiada said in chapter 23. Or, in the absence of godly influence in your life, you will just listen to the wicked influence and you'll just follow right along. We know that happens every single day. You college graduates, you high school graduates, college graduates too, but you high school graduates, maybe you graduated just this week. Maybe you graduated last year or 2 years ago. What's going to happen when you change influences? Will you be like Jehoiada, or will you fall like Joash? And let me go a step further. What happens? Really, what happens at that point reveals what was in your heart all along. What happens at that point reveals what was in your heart all along. See, Jehoiada, what was in his heart all along was that he belonged to the Lord. And it was God's authority that he was under, not the wicked influence. It was God's authority. And so because he recognized God's authority, because he belonged to the Lord, he strengthened himself and he stood up against the wicked influences. Because that's what was in his heart. Joash was merely following whoever was right in front of him. It was not the Lord that he was following. It was the people that he could see. And as long as the people that he could see were godly influences, he did okay. But the second Jehoiada died and the other counselors moved in, well, he just went with them. That reveals what was in his heart all along. This chapter, chapter 24, this chapter, I have across the top of the chapter in my Bible, it is written, the folly of following a man. You cannot follow men. Now, it is good to have godly influences in your life, but godly influences are only good insofar as they push you to follow and to know the Lord yourself. Because if you are only following godly influences in your life, if you're following a godly influence, because right now that makes sense. And listen, some of you guys, you students, let me talk to you students for a second. You're about to go down to Snowbird, and you're going to get fired up. And you're going to be excited, rightfully so, because you're going to be under the truth of God's Word, and it's coming from a man. I think Brody is gifted with exhortation, which means there is motivation coming with his teaching. And you're going to be excited about following the Lord. But let me tell you something. If you trust it and you believe it and you're excited about it because Brody said it, then watch out, because you're going to fall. Because somebody else might come and present you with something else with just as much enthusiasm. And it might sound just as good. And if what you're doing is you're following what sounds good and what seems most exciting, then forget it. You're going to be just like Joash. What you have got to do is you have got to say, listen, that's not true, and I'm not excited about it just because Brody said it. I'm excited about it, and it's true because God says it. And I am going to follow the Lord because my life is not my own. My life belongs to the Lord. And with that, if that is your heart, then you can go anywhere and follow the Lord. If you know the Lord and you follow the Lord and you know what His Word says yourself, and it is God that you are following, then you can stand up in the middle of anywhere and be faithful and be successful at what God has called you to do. But if you are simply following a man, then your faithfulness is limited at best. Adults, let me just share this with you. Our temptation is much more subtle. Our temptation is much more subtle than a young person. Young people face dramatic decisions. But you can be 50 years old, and let me present this situation to you. Here's what this looks like in a more mature person. You can get to the place, even as an adult Christian, and you've been a Christian for a long time, you can get to the place where you are reading books by men rather than God's Word. You can get to the place where you are being influenced by logic and by reason and what seems to make good sense, even from Christian authors. You can get to the place where you are making decisions based on popular vote on Facebook. Hey friends, here's the decision that I'm making. What do y'all say? Rather than going and kneeling down in the throne room of the universe and saying, God, you got to direct me. You can get to a place where you are following, you are being guided by the people around you rather than knowing and following and obeying the Lord yourself. And you know what will happen? You do that. And you let the people around you and what makes sense and what seems best to you and to them, you start doing that rather than seeking the Lord yourself, and you will start making mistakes and you won't even know it. Read Psalm 19. You won't even know you're making mistakes. What's going on in your heart? Are you following the Lord knowing the Lord, following His word yourself, or are you just following a person? If you are just following a person, it will become evident, because your faithfulness will be limited and you will fall. Drop down to verse 23. Now it happened at the turn of the year that the army of the Arameans came up against him, that's Joash, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the officials of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. Indeed, the army of the Arameans came with a small number of men. Yet the Lord delivered a very great army into their hands, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, and thus they executed judgment on Joash. Remember, I said earlier that the result of my efforts, the response to my decisions, all of that belongs to the Lord. We see that happening again. Joash was following men. And God brought a very small army, the Arameans, very small army. Joash had a great army. And God gave a very small army victory over the great army. God did that. Why? Because Joash, he was just following people. He wasn't following the Lord himself. Who are you going to be? You going to be Jehoiada? You going to follow the Lord, know the Lord yourself? You going to be Joash? You're just going to follow whatever influences are right in front of you. Don't be Joash. Don't be Joash. Truth of the matter is, our lives don't belong to us. Christ purchased us with His blood to redeem for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good works. It's Titus. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. My life is not mine to figure out. My life belongs to Him, and it is His to lead and to guide. It is His to teach and to instruct. My life is His to shape. It's not mine to figure out and to wonder and to do what I want or what makes sense to me. It's not like that at all. Why? Because I've been bought with a price. Don't take what Christ bought with His own blood and squander it by looking at people. Follow the Lord. You do what God's Word says for yourself. Godly influences, they're good, but they're only as good as far as they push you to know the Lord yourself. Only that good. Who are you going to be? Students? You high school graduates? What's going to happen? What's going to happen when the godly influences in your life are not there anymore? Are you going to be? Father, God, I praise You for Your word. And I praise You for preserving what happened to Joash. And God, I ask You to protect us. I pray that our hearts would belong.